We are very, very happy to be here and to join Open Door Baptist Church. It's been 7 years. You know, time is flying very fast, but we are very much encouraged in these 7 years being here and having one spirit and mind with you all. In the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we feel really at home and comfortable, and we know we are doing the work of God together, and there is no word really to explain how we dearly appreciate what you are doing for Ethiopian fellowship here at Open Door Baptist Church. It is a proof that we Christians are, even though we have different colors and different backgrounds and different languages, we Christians are one people in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we feel that and we testify that and we witness that. Wherever I go, I mention Open Door Baptist Church is also behind the work that we are doing, we all are doing in the Bible translation work. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful for you, Open Door Baptist Church. You know, 7 years ago, Pastor Weigel and Pastor Porter, who was here, invited me to Ethiopian dinner in one of Ethiopian restaurants. And they ordered injera and they asked me, show us how to eat it. And I showed them how to eat it. We ate together, and they enjoyed it. Did you enjoy that food? Yeah. So we had, from that time on, when we were discussing about my work, Dr. Weigel told me, because we were living in this area at Carriage House apartment complex, and he said, where are you working? Is the place you are working comfortable for your work? And I told him, that is not that much comfortable. But he said immediately, without me saying anything, he said, I have 3 offices, one in my college, and 2 at my home, and 3 in the church. So I will gladly give you my office at the church. And I received the key. And since then, working in that office, and I'm thankful for that. This is the work of the Lord. If I don't mention some people here, it is not right, really, from my talk now. I should mention all of you in your prayers, in your support. We are grateful for you. But David and Nancy, they are great people for us. They are an encouragement for us. They come here early in the morning. I always say this. They come here early in the morning for the opening everything and setting up everything and supervising. David is a deacon here. And then they stay for Sunday school here. And they stay for the main service here. And they come to Amharic service, 2:30. What a joy I have about them. And they stay to the evening service, 4 services a day. They never give up these 7 years unless something happened because of their family. They are always here. And so I'm grateful for you. Thank you very much, Dave, and thank you very much, Nancy. You are a great encouragement, particularly for the work and myself too. Thank you very much. And you know, now Dave was with us, and he was singing in Amharic. I'm sure next year, 5 more people will join us here on the platform to sing in Amharic, because I have 6 Amharic students here. I mentioned few weeks ago about the work that I'm working. I was in South Africa and I reported the report. All went well because you are praying and you are because you are behind me supporting the work of the Lord. And many more things will come here in USA. I will travel to so many parts of USA as well as Europe. And I believe that your prayer will be with me to support and to sustain the work the Lord has given us to do together. This is not my work, Ethiopian work. This is the work of Open Door Baptist Church. I should stop here, and I will just give a few message concerning our Thanksgiving Day, our anniversary day. I cannot believe again. It is 7 years, so time flies. We thank the Lord. We are healthy. We are alive. We still breathe in and out, and the Lord is with us, all of us. I'm thankful to our great and glorious God. So please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. This morning I'm preaching because of, we need to hear the word of God. So Hebrews chapter 7. I will read the verse I'm going to share. I better not say I'm preaching because it is a devotional message. So I will read the portion of the scripture that I'm going to deal with, and other scriptures will come up. So verse 19, Hebrews chapter 7. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. This is a passage that I'm going to look. It is about a Christian hope. I think we need to hear this message time and again about the hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The chapter, chapter 7 as a whole, speaks about the priesthood of Jewish priesthood and then the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a vast subject. I don't dare to deal with it this morning, so I only focus on verse 19. Within the context, the scripture comes to verse 19. At verse 19, the word gives us amazing reality about the bringing in of a better hope. It's amazing, the scripture says, There is a law, and the law, it says, never makes anyone perfect. But the bringing in, the idea is, the bringing in of this better hope can make people who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ to be perfect and to be accepted, to be received by our gracious and perfect God is the idea. So that better hope is then further explained in that particular verse to mention one important aspect. It says this bringing in of a better hope did make people to be received. And it says, by the same hope, we draw nigh unto God. So if there is anyone who dare to draw God, and if there is anyone who will be going to heaven, it is through this hope. The hope that brings us near to the Almighty and all-knowing God. So in this single devotional study, we will see that hope is, what that hope is, and examine our heart. I would love every one of us to examine our hearts and turn to this hope, which is everlasting, amazing, and true, and working. So we will see this Christian hope. So in my first point, the Christian hope, I want to just briefly give you the meaning of hope. The word hope in the Bible is mentioned several times. It is mentioned in Old Testament, and it is also mentioned in the New Testament. The portion I read you is from the New Testament. Biblical hope is closely related to biblical faith. We must understand this. The root word, so faith, and the root word hope, are closely related to one another. So it is something we believers have that brings change in our life. So biblical hope, closely related with faith, and once we have it, it brings great change in our mind and in our soul. And that change would be amazing, and it will last forever. And it will be like an anchor to our soul to be comforted and strengthened in the time of trials, ups and downs. So hope, Christian hope, is very, very important to know and to understand. So I have here in the Hebrew, the word hope is mentioned kawa in Hebrew, or kawa, something like that. And it means expectation of what will come to pass. So hope is expectation of what is going to come. And this expectation must be understood. It is grounded in the faith and confidence one has on the promise of God. So if we have the promise of God, and if we know his person, the person of God, and if we know the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart, this hope will be in us. It will be in us, and it will work in us. This can be for both now and future things. This hope is working now for our life and for the future, because we are going to inherit the kingdom of God, eternal and never fading kingdom. So I want to mention also the Greek one. The Greek word for hope is elpis, elpidos, elpida, something like that. And it has the same kind of meaning with the Hebrew root word. So in both New and Old Testament, the word hope is expectation of something. But this expectation should be grounded and established in the promise, in the person, and in the word of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. So it is said like that by some people. Without hope, life loses its meaning. And without hope, life loses the purpose of living. We must understand this, friends. If we don't have hope, we don't have true meaning of life. We just live and we just die. Hope is important. Many people in the Old Testament, as well as many scholars in the New Testament, repeatedly say this: life without hope is not better than being a dead person. So if you don't have hope, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the biblical genuine faith, you are miserable in your life. So we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him to have this genuine hope that can work. I will come to that point. Biblical genuine hope must be grounded, I say again, in God, his person, his word, and his promises. I mentioned four things. Such believers' hope is grounded in God, his word, and his promises. It is true and reliable hope, never been vague and foolishness. So Christian hope never been a vague hope, just like a pie in the sky. It is not a pie in the sky. A pie in the sky is mentioned a few weeks ago by pastor here. We have the similar saying in Ethiopia: I have a cow in the sky and I will never see her milk at all. So it is not like that. This hope is grounded in the person of God. And it is tangible. It is true. It is real. The word hope does mean also true, really. It is true. So the believer's hope throughout the history of believers has helped them a lot. It comforted them. It upheld them. And you can see when you read several passages in the book of Psalms. If you read Psalms, all of book of Psalms, you can see believers are helped time and again by the hope they have in our God, in their trials, tribulations, and in their afflictions, and in their doubts and questions about life and about the situation we are facing in. So it is a great help, and it is said in the Bible itself, it is an anchor for our soul. I will continue this Christian faith in the next slide. Hope and faith being assured and have firmness on what is believed, that is the word of God and the promises of God and the person of God. Hope is patiently waiting those things which we are centering our faith. So we have faith, and hope makes us to patiently waiting the faith we have in the person of God and in the promises of God. So they go one with another. So they go hand in hand, and they are a great encouragement for believers. So faith is putting trust on what we believe. Hope is patiently waiting what is believed with unfallen, unfailing assurance we have in the word of God and in the person of God. Somebody says hope is the thing that is pulling us towards what we believe is true and assured. So this is about Christian hope. But let me say a few things about Christian hope identified. Christian hope identified. How do we identify the Christian hope in the Word of God? Christian hope, which is based on the person, the promise of God, as I mentioned it several times, is identified in so many scriptures by its actual nature. It is identified. First of all, it is a future hope of resurrection of the dead. We have this amazing hope. We, even though are going to be dead or are going to die, one day will be resurrected. That is an assured hope that is given to believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important because nowadays there are so many philosophies and so many speculations and false ideas about our body. People say that once we die, that's it. We will never resurrect. And some people, some believers, some kind of false believers, not true believers, I heard them saying, once we die, we will be extinct. No, the Bible doesn't say so. We have eternal soul in our life and eternal spirit. That soul and spirit will never perish. And even our body, after we die, our body will be amazingly and very quickly will be resurrected. Having this body changed, we will be resurrected, and we will be with God forever and ever, having this, our body, in resurrection. So you can see this in Acts chapter 23, verse 6. You can read that. And in Romans chapter 8, 23 to 25, there is another identification of our hope. It says, redemption of the body and the whole creation. You see, this whole creation will be redeemed, and it will be changed, and it will be ready for our eternal dwelling place. So this is mentioned in Romans chapter 8, 23 to 25. And our body will be redeemed, and this entire creation, the creation system, which is in pain and travel because of the sinful nature of humanity, will be redeemed. So this is our hope. Eternal glory of the believers. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it is said that the hope we have is eternal glory. There is an eternal glory where we are going to enter in. Years ago, on that table outside in the main area, in the entrance area, one man, which a minister, which is very well known by this church, go to glory, and there was a paper written on the table. He graduated to heaven. So when we die, we are going to graduate. We are going to graduate to glory, to be with the Lord. This is only possible if we are believers in the Lord. If we are not believers in the Lord, eternal glory will not be for us. Eternal suffering will be our fate. So that shouldn't be our eternal future. If we come and repent our sins and trust our Savior for our salvation, that eternal glory will be ours. And the other identification mentioned in the Bible about this hope, it is eternal life and inheritance of the saints, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. So we are going to have eternal life. That is true, and that is very assured in the Word of God, and we know it in our heart. If we truly believed in the Lord, we have eternal life and inheritance with the saints and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14, there is amazing portion of the Bible. It says, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, I will mention it later on, is amazing blessing. And we have that hope. The Lord Jesus Christ will come. Earlier today, in our Bible study, Pastor was going through the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he will come and we will be with him. That is a glorious blessing. And this is our hope identified in the Bible. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, there is a transformation into the likeness of Christ of all believers. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our body and our entirety will be transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people foolishly don't understand how magnificent is a Christian faith. There is no faith like this. It is amazing. It is the only faith that can promise you that you will be going to be transformed into the likeness of your Savior and your God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is another hope we have identified in the Word of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, I know I have so many lists of verses, but I will go to the next section after I read this one. When we believe in God, and as soon as we got a saving knowledge, salvation, I mean, we will have hope in our life. As soon as we are saved, there is something that is implanted in our heart and in our soul. It is a working hope. I will come to explain that in the next portions of my notes. So when this hope is placed in us, that is put in us, we will be immediately changed. We will be different and can no more look like this world. So that is a Christian identity. When you have this hope, your entire view of life and view of self and view of God will be changed. And people will be surprised, but we will be changed. Our behavior, our worldview, our relationship will be changed. We have new view of life. We know what is the purpose and meaning of life. All will become new for us if we have this hope placed in us as soon as we got saved. So if there is someone this morning who is not yet saved, And if you are struggling to how to know to be saved and what is the benefit of being saved, let me tell you, you can be saved by the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you are saved, you will come into a fountain of life and amazing rest, amazing joy, amazing satisfaction, amazing peace will come into your heart and mind, and you will be changed. When I prepared this message, I want to mention a few things about this hope. And as I trying to mention about this hope, I want to tell you about adjectives describing our hope. I'm not going to teach you grammar. I have enough students to teach Amari grammar. So, but this is an adjective that is explaining the word hope. The Bible has four of them. There are so many, plenty of them, but I want to mention few of them. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, you remember when I was reading this, the bringing of the better hope. This hope is qualified by this adjective, better, actually a comparative adjective. This adjective is giving us a glimpse of what kind of hope I'm talking about. This is a better hope. You can have hope in this world. You can have hope in prosperity. You can have hope in intellectuality. You can have hope in so many religious activity, doing this and that to go to heaven. But all these hopes never helped anyone in the entire history of humanity. This one is a better hope. Because it is a better hope, this hope will bring us to the meeting of our God and Creator. So the verse says, by the which we can draw nigh unto God. So we can draw near to God, and we will be his people, and he will be our God. He will be our king, and we will be his subjects. And he will be our protector, and he will answer our prayers. So it is a better hope. There is no other means of hope as this one. So I said once in my previous talking, you remember that there is no religion in the entire universe that can give a better hope like this. So biblical faith and biblical Christianity is providing us a better hope. This is an adjective explained like this. The next one is a good hope. A good hope in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. We have this mentioned there. I told you earlier, Pastor was teaching 2 Thessalonians, and he will come to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm not going to that, but verse 16 and verse 17, let me read it for you. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. This hope is a good hope. This is given to us by our God, as it is mentioned here. And Apostle Paul continued in verse 17, saying, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This is a prayer mentioned from verse 16 to verse 17 by the apostle. So our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God himself, and even our Father, God our Father, this triune God would give you this good hope is prayed by the apostle Paul. Verse 16 is the beginning of conclude. To conclude the chapter 2, and explains our Lord Jesus Christ, who is he, and he is the one who can give us good hope, and he is the one who can give us everlasting consolation and comfort, but this is only given to people through grace. If we come and repent our sins and trust our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us on Calvary Cross, this all will be given to us as a package in our life, a good hope. This hope is good because it came from God. This hope is good. It is given to us. And this hope is good because it is assured hope, never failing. If you, let me say again, dear brothers and sisters, if you are a true believer, our God never fails you in your life. He will never forsake you. It is written. This is good hope. Never fails us. There are many things people hope. You know, there are so many things. Yesterday, I went to one correction facility to interpret for some people who had to go there, and they are drug addicted people, Amharic speakers, and when I go there, I can tell you how many people were there. The room was full of people, whites and blacks, suffering from addiction and suffering from alcohol. They all are alcoholics and have been arrested 2, 3 times, 5, 10 times by the police, stopped, and they are hopeless. People and this entire world system told them, take this and take that, take this drug and drink this much, and don't worry about anything, but everything. And thus hope ended them up there. One lady told to the people that she's been escorted by 4 police cars to be driven out of New York City. They didn't want her. They drove out her and they sent her to anywhere to live in the U.S. other than New York City. This is scrambled hope. And she said, I am hopeless. I have been hopeless. I am hopeless. I have been hopeless. This entire universe is giving us, you can be prosperous, you can be beautiful, or you can be this and that. You can go to White House. There is nothing in White House. The hope we have is a good hope, never failing. No one I know who believed the Lord Jesus Christ failed by God. Our God is a God of good hope. And the third one is a blessed hope. I will go soon to finish. A blessed hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it is said like this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can notice that the hope I'm mentioning time and again is interrelated with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, God the Father. So it says, looking for that blessed hope. The statement we see here is from Titus. I mentioned it. It comes from, it flows down from verse 11 after mentioning the great teacher there in Titus chapter 2. One great teacher is mentioned. Its name is Grace of God. The grace of God is our teacher. And what are the syllabuses or the lesson plan he is going to teach us? So many things. And one of the things that the grace of God teaching us is looking for the blessed hope. The Lord Jesus Christ will come. That is our glorious hope. And we are going to be taught by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit and through pastors and teachers to look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ will come. So I can say every student of grace has this lesson. Sink in their mind, integrated in their soul and spirit. They learn to look to the blessed hope. They don't look to this entirely corrupted world. Many people don't know how much this world is corrupted. This world we live in is corrupted, full of corruption. Go anywhere throughout the world, there is no peace at all. But our trust and our hope is this blessed hope, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and to come to him and to look to him. Of course, I mentioned here, when he comes, we shall be with him. And we will be with him forever and ever. That is our hope, Christian hope. The next one I want to mention is lively hope. This is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter said in his letter, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is marvelous. The hope Christians have is a lively hope. This lively, Pastor will agree with me, the word lovely, lively here have a sense of being active, working, not dead, not just unworking kind of thing. So the hope that once we receive and once in our heart and in our mind, once you have this hope, something inside you will happen. So as we received this hope by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, we are getting a life-changing and working hope. That's why it is said lively hope. We will get a change of mind. If you like, change of worldview. The way you see life will be different. I mentioned it. This hope will be a living power in our heart and in our mind. You cannot be called to the Christian faith if you have this faith, this hope. It will actively working in us, constantly lifts us our head towards God in the midst of suffering and trials, ups and downs. When doubt strikes us, this hope will lift us up. This is amazing hope. Yes, with our hope, life in this part of eternity would be without hope. I want to say without hope, not with our hope. Life in this part of eternity would be unbearable, full of pain. But with hope, we can bear it up and we can pass through it because the Lord, our God, will be with us and grant us grace and amazing blessing, answers to our prayers, and so on. The last one I want to mention is this hope, again, is mentioned, sure and steadfast hope. This is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil." It's amazing. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope we have is in him, in his person, in his amazing work. And this hope we have is said an anchor for our soul. I don't know how many of you, the English speakers, first language English speakers, know anchor, anchor. Anchor is something that is related to ships, ship. And if you are a shipper or a ship on the ship workers, one of them, When you want to dock the ship, you have to use this anchor to send it down to the bottom of the sea. It is a very, very big iron metal, and it can hold steadfast the ship to do not move according to the power of the current. So this hope is mentioned amazingly, an anchor for our soul. It can keep us without moving or being troubled in our mind, in our heart, and in the situation we are living in. It's amazing. It is an anchor of our soul. But what kind? It is described as sure and steadfast. It is most assured hope. There is nothing like that. It is a sure hope and steadfast hope. But it continues mentioning which enters into that within the veil. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who saved us. He is our hope, sure and steadfast, never changing. He is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It is a sure hope. It is always consistent. It will never let you fail, but continues showing it in your life, in your ups and downs. So it is best to know this hope in this time and in this age we are living in. I know this subject is very vast, but I should conclude it here by mentioning and by asking one vital question. So the next slide I have is a question. This question is, how to have this hope? Do you have this hope? This amazing hope, working hope, good hope, glorious hope. You can name so many adjectives and you can attach to it. It is true. And it is a working hope, lively hope. How to have this hope in your life? Do you have it? Is it in your heart and mind? Is it helping you, protecting you, and sustaining you, upholding you? I should ask these questions. It can be yours by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, clearly shows, being justified by faith, we have this hope of glory. If we are justified by faith, that means if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness and trust him and him alone who died on the Calvary cross, we will get this hope and we'll receive salvation free without charge. But if our hope is in this world, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, chapter 15, verse 19, 1 Corinthians, read like this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, this is because some people, by coming to church or by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, they assume that they can be better in this life. No, that is not the reality. If we have this hope only for this life, that is really vanity. That doesn't help us at all. We are, he said, of all men, most miserable. So our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ should be our forgiveness of our sins. Then knowing him and having that eternal blessing that we can get in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope, Christian hope, we have by believing is based on the promise, the word of God, the person of God, and it is for sure a better hope, a good hope, a blessed hope, a living hope, and a sure and steadfast hope. What marvelous life you would have if you have this hope. May the Lord bless us, encourage us, and strengthen us, and give us this hope to live in this unhopeful world and life. Thank you. God bless you.